Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Vegas Therapist. I am your host, Ryan Winder. And remember, what's happening in Vegas is not staying in Vegas, as I bring you helpful tips in all sorts of topic areas with a Vegas twist, of course. So let's get the show started.
Welcome everybody. It's good to have you back in for another episode of The Vegas Therapist. This is your host, Ryan Winder. Got a great show for you today. But before we get to today's episode, just wanted to follow up on the last couple of episodes that we've had on trauma. The first one with Theo Fleury and talking about his story. And then last week I went into more details about trauma, identifying our trauma, some of the patterns that we've had. I've had lots of great responses from that, from those episodes. I think it's given me a sense of just understanding that more and more, I mean, even though I deal with it regularly, just how impactful trauma is to a lot of us, and just how prevalent it is in our lives, and the importance of understanding it, and the importance of being able to recognize what those trauma patterns are, and then doing ourselves the favor of then looking at those patterns and trying to work through them and being able to come through the other side and hopefully get some relief from the trauma that we've experienced in our lives. But again, I appreciate everybody's comments and feedback from those episodes. And I think you'll probably see more episodes related to trauma in the future, just because it is such an impactful thing. But today, I wanted to talk about some other topics, kind of take a break from trauma before we get back into it. But first, again, I just want to remind everybody to go to the Vegas Therapist Facebook page, the Vegas Therapist podcast, Ryan Winder. Join there and you can get updates and different things that I post there. As well as if you do have any suggestions or comments or emails, feel free to email me at thevegastherapist@gmail.com and I'd be happy to respond to whatever questions you have. Or if you're looking to do any further personal coaching or anything of that nature, from myself, you can always contact me that way too, and I'd be happy to get with you on that as well. So, all right, well, let's get into the episode today. So today's episode was basically kind of a thought in relation to current events, and I wanted to just tackle a couple of those things, and it kind of came across the forefront from Michelle Obama. In fact, as she went on her own podcast, and she talked about the notion of low-grade depression. So she basically acknowledged to the world that she was experiencing her own feelings of low-grade depression, or what she considered a low-grade depression. And so I just wanted to use that as a topic base and kind of go into that a little bit. But before I specifically go into what low-grade depression is, I do think it's important that I point out that as a result of a survey that was given, 1 in 3 Americans are currently reporting symptoms of depression and anxiety. And that is 3 times the amount or the rate in comparison to a survey that was conducted in the first half of 2019. So definitely the increase rates of depression and anxiety are out there. I think the environment and the circumstances that are going on around us are definitely playing a role into that. So it is a concern, a lot more people experiencing that. Even the First Lady herself is now reporting a feeling of low-grade depression. I don't think it's any surprise that, like I said, with everything that's going on, that more and more people are reporting that. And honestly, I don't know if I really see an end in sight to that anytime soon. I think those numbers are going to continue to climb as, you know, we experience these different things and continue to kind of be in, you know, involved in what's going on around us. So it's here to stay. So we need to be able to deal with it and work through it. And so hopefully we'll be able to identify some things today and help us, if we are feeling that way, be able to learn some things that we can do to get out of that. So back to this idea of low-grade depression, Michelle Obama referenced several contributing factors that she felt were a part of this depression. In fact, this was her quote, just to give it straight from the horse's mouth. She said, not just because of the quarantine, but because of racial strife and just seeing the administration is dispiriting. She also went on to note that These are not fulfilling times for her. So one thing I wanted to say is a good thing that this is not a political show, as I don't really want to touch the last part of her statement. That's her feelings. That's her belief. That's what she sees in relation to the administration side of things. So that's depressing for her. Maybe it isn't as depressing for other people, but that's something for her. But the point really is that the things around us can and do have an impact on our mental health and well-being. And so that's what we have to be mindful of for each of us, is that the events and the circumstances, whether it's the quarantine, the racial strife, the uncertainty, even with politics, whatever side you're on, there's a lot of things there, job loss, economic status, all those kinds of things that are all impacting us. I know for me personally, I've always referred to this more as what I call situational depression rather than low-grade depression. And I think obviously situational depression is fairly explanatory. Really, it is the result that your depression is a result of events or situations around you and is often a temporary state that lasts until the situation or situations is resolved or go away. So that's kind of how I look at that. But just like situational depression or low-grade depression, it's really not an official diagnosis. It does meet some of the criteria for depressive symptoms, but not the criteria for a depressive disorder. Some of the symptoms may include things like loss of interest in activities such as hobbies or even sex, sadness, sleep disturbance, whether you're sleeping too much or you can't sleep, kind of restless sleep. Irritability is a part of it, and then difficulty concentrating can also be another aspect of this. What I thought it's important to note, though, too, what's missing from this, like why does it not kind of flow into a depressive disorder? Typically with depressive disorder, you also get feelings of worthlessness, suicidal ideation, or even attempts. Physical problems as well accompany it. And then probably the one of the main keys is just the length of the symptoms. You know, oftentimes, again, situational is a brief period. Depressive disorder, once you get into that category, we're typically we're experiencing these symptoms on an ongoing basis for a longer period of time. So that's kind of that. That's the difference between those things and kind of how they work. So I think, like I said, many of us may be having moments of situational depression or this low-grade depression. And, you know, but we still can't just ignore it just because it doesn't meet this criteria of a depressive disorder. We still need to be proactive in dealing with it, identifying that maybe that's what we're feeling. I think another big factor in this is stress. I think, again, we can all agree that there's a great deal of stress out there. And stress, in addition to uncertainty, equals uneasiness, anxiety, etc. Again, even kind of leading to depression. So that's all a part of the mix as well. And the more stressed we are, the more we kind of derail from things that maybe are good for us, or things that are healthy, or things that we can do to kind of work on things. And so that's a factor in there as well. Michelle Obama also pointed out that there's a great sense of loss right now, and that no one is immune from that loss. Now, when it comes to loss, you know, I mean, she didn't necessarily define that or what that was for her. But, you know, I thought maybe I would kind of take a shot at as far as like what that might be referring to. I think sometimes there's some general things that maybe all of us are experiencing to some degree. And then there's also just some specific things that it could be as well, too. Some people might say the general things might include loss of freedoms or certain rights. Obviously, there's been losses of jobs for people, loss of loved ones. We know that death has hit a number of people as a result of the pandemic. But again, I think the main point here is that we're all impacted in many ways. There's losses of connections. I think as I was thinking about this, there's been losses of memories, moments, opportunities. And just this last week, we were supposed to be on a trip. Well, we've had two trips kind of go the wayside as a result of the pandemic and different things. But this last week, we were supposed to be up in Montana with family. And our family from Canada was supposed to come down and meet us there. We were going to do some camping and then go back up to Canada and see some of the other family. But as a result of the border being closed, we had to cancel that, and none of that happened. So again, some loss there, loss of opportunity, loss of time to spend time with family and be able to create memories and opportunities to just be with them and connect. So those are the kind of losses I think about when I'm looking at this. And like I said, we've all had our share of losses in this state and in the last 4 to 5 months, and potentially we'll continue to experience losses depending on like what the economy does and things of that nature. So we're definitely not out of the woods, and we definitely need to be mindful of that. And so I think one of the things that we can do as a way of trying to change the trajectory is that looking for and trying to create our own opportunities for ourselves, whether it's for different memories or things we can do with our individual families, or with it's just things that maybe we haven't tried before, things that kind of help us to get outside our comfort zone or get outside the box. We definitely have to be creative in this day and time to try to do things that, like I said, maybe we just haven't tried before or done. Maybe it's going camping for the first time. Maybe it's, you know, hiking, running, different things like that, just to try to see a different side of things to where we can get out and be productive and feel like we're not just, you know, in this box that we can't get out of and that we're stuck in some sense. So I would encourage you to do that, to try to look for opportunities to get outside the box, to be creative and to do something different. I think it does help our mental well-being. I think a lot of things that we talk about too in relation to maybe even depression or what can make us feel depressed is when we feel a sense of helplessness in our lives. That's another one of those depressive disorder symptoms, is a feeling of helplessness. And so if we don't feel a sense of control or feel that we have control in our lives, that hinders that feeling of, or that I guess contributes to that feeling of helplessness. So by taking control and by being able to look for ways that we can create these opportunities, that's basically asserting our will into our lives and, you know, not just sitting back and feeling like everything's being taken from us. So that's kind of a treatment option for us. You know, other treatment options include just regular exercise, meditation, mindfulness. You know, now these things, you know, I think sometimes, I mean, obviously exercise is, I think, something that people will do, you know, and people that have been doing exercise or their regular, that's part of their regular routine. Obviously that's, I think, been helpful for them, but there is value in meditation and mindfulness as well. Just opportunities to relax and just to kind of think and do mindfulness techniques or meditation type things that can help just kind of center us and get us in a better frame of thinking. So I'd encourage those things as well. Obviously we need to seek out social connection in whatever we can, whatever way we can, especially with loved ones, whether that's FaceTime, you know, type things or whatever it may be, or if there are family members that are close to us that we can visit, that we're not going to impact in any kind of negative way, that we do that. And really just overall practicing some good self-care skills, I think, is important. So again, one of the things, and just to kind of touch on this, again, as far as why I went down this path with what Michelle Obama brought up, is just the fact that, you know, some people might kind of scoff and think, oh, Michelle Obama, low grade depression, like I'm sure, you know, she's got this great life, or, you know, she's a former first lady. But the reality is that, you know, we can debate whether or not somebody has this or doesn't have this, or what, you know, what their level of depression might be like. But I think we all can have that in whatever state that we're in. We can feel this sense of low grade depression. So it's not so much about a comparison thing or what we think about somebody, but it's just in the context of our own being and our own way of living that we can experience this feeling. And so it is important for us to identify if we're having some of these symptoms, or if we're going down this path of possibly even into a worse depression state as well. Because again, like I said, length of time is a big factor in what defines a low grade kind of situational depression to a disorder. If we're, you know, a couple months in and we still are in this funk, we might be now in this more of the disorder state where You know, we might really want to look at getting some, you know, some help outside of just some of the things I said before about self-care and stuff like that. We may need to go talk to somebody. We may need to maybe even potentially get on some medication for a period of time of some, you know, if that is needed. And that's what I tell a lot of my clients too, is just as far as like medication goes, I'm not necessarily the biggest proponent on it all the time, but again, from a situational standpoint, maybe if it's just to get you through a brief period of time, it can have some value from that perspective as well. The other topic, though, I wanted to just touch on now that we're kind of through the depression side of it. And again, it's more of just because it's out there and it's been talked about, is this notion of sex trafficking. Now, again, these are kind of disjointed things. They don't really sort of like have any necessary correlation, depression and sex trafficking. But this is kind of more just a current events type episode. And it's also leading into something that I want to get into. I have a guest lined up that's going to be coming on in the next episode, and we're going to talk about sex trafficking. So I just kind of wanted to touch on it. And hopefully by now you've become more aware of this problem in this country, and how the pandemic has intensified this issue by leaving kids more vulnerable to the exploitation of these sex traffickers, whether it's because they're online more or they're at home by themselves, unattended because parents are working or whatever. And that's been part of the fear of kids being online at, you know, in school the whole year. This year coming up is just that leads to more of that vulnerability. And so there's some concern there. And so this notion of being more aware of what sex trafficking is and how it happens and some of the signs and some of the things to look for, and just being able to talk to your kids about it so that we don't just take for granted that, oh, it's not going to happen to them, or they're immune, or they're not, you know, they're protected or whatever. We don't ever want to be in that state where we just take something for granted and don't think it can happen to us. Some positive notes on that. And again, not a political thing, just facts. President Trump recently allotted $35 million in funds to help victims, which I feel is awesome because the amount of trauma and different things that are experienced by these individuals is intense, and definitely the need for therapy and help long term is really important. In fact, I don't remember the name, but I know she was on Elizabeth Smart's Instagram page recently. One of the people that have done a documentary about sex trafficking who'd gone through this recently committed suicide. That was a story recently. And I mean, it talked about how she'd even been in therapy herself and done lots of the EMDR stuff. But again, the intensity of it is just so extreme that, you know, that need for help and assistance is definitely an important part of this. So thanks to President Trump for doing that. Another key part in the sex trafficking thing is the Underground Railroad project, which is headed by Tim Ballard. I think most of you probably heard that name or seen that organization now. It's definitely on Facebook and different things that you can, you know, touch base if you haven't. But that's been at the forefront of the issue, you know, with his efforts to help victims as well as going after sex trafficking rings. Definitely trying to make a dent in this issue. So anyway, like I said, I just wanted to kind of just touch on that topic. I hope you're aware of it. I hope you are taking precautions and, you know, especially as kids, if they, you know, are online this whole year, that we recognize that there is a vulnerability there and we try to be mindful of that and not just kind of, you know, take it for granted that they'll be okay and that nothing can happen to them. And like I said too, I'm prepping for a guest on my next episode that we're going to tackle this topic and touch on it. So I'm looking forward to that. So anyway, hope everybody takes the time to, you know, evaluate where they're at in their current mental health. And if you are feeling some level of depression, whether again it's low grade or whatever, that you take inventory of that and also look for ways that you can start to get on a better path, whether, like I said, it's doing some exercise or looking for some opportunities outside the box to kind of just take control back and try to, you know, live your best life under these current circumstances. And I think as you do that, you know, your spirit will lift, you'll start to feel better, and hopefully it'll be enough to pull you out of that little bit of depression that you might be feeling. Because again, I think we've all had moments of it. I know I've had moments of it throughout the last 4 months, and it can take a toll on us. So let's be mindful of that. Let's take care of ourselves. Let's work to, you know, just be better around, better for ourselves in helping, whether it's, again, improving our self-care, whether it's taking steps to even maybe get some mental health therapy, if that's something that we may need. So, and again, you can contact me if you're looking for some of that help or coaching in whatever area, thevegastherapist@gmail.com, or go to my website. Also, again, join the Facebook group, and you can get in touch with me on that as well too. So that's the Vegas Therapist Podcast, Ryan Winder on Facebook. And that group's open to everybody. So, all right. Well, I wanted to just kind of do a short one today, and hope everybody's doing well. And we'll talk to you soon. This is the Vegas Therapist.